Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you in part by Purina. Purina is dedicated to creating richer lives for pets and the people who love them. From helping older pets think like their younger selves to making cat ownership a possibility for more people than ever, Purina is helping pets thrive so they can live long, healthy, and happy lives. Purina has you covered for all your furry friends' needs, whether they meow or bark. From litter to treats to their best-in-class, nutrient-packed food with taste your pets will love, Purina's got your back at every stage of your pet's life. Your pet gives you the joy of the spring sunshine all year round. So today and every day, care for your pet with Purina. Your pet is Purina's passion. To learn more, head to amazon.com/Purina.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear us scream and shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Hello, Ward.
Hello, Eric.
We got a juicy one today.
Nom 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 nom.
Is that your juicy sound effect? I mean, we just lost everyone. And it's the worst ASMR feed ever. That's what you just gave us. Listen, man, before we get to it, as always,
we are
powered by
communitycars.com. Sponsor of the pod, Hoosier Hysterics. Communitycars.com. Hoosier Legends Talk with Ward and Eric. Communitycars.com.
I went very clear fade out. I just wanted to be succinct and clear and serious because we got a serious guest today and serious topics to talk about, but nothing's more serious than getting your next car.
Mm-mm, that's it. That's A number one. Look, I love cars. Cars are great. They got four wheels. They got two doors, four doors, sometimes five doors. But the one place you can go and get cars that have all that and steering wheels and seats and speedometers and some place to put the gas or plug in the electric plug is Community Cars. They have cars with all those things.
I actually understand that another reference from Hoosier Hysterics got another car sold to somebody on the IU basketball team.
Is that right?
Buying their first car, went to Evan Martin and the team there, had a budget that he wanted to stay within. They found him the perfect, and they even came up with creative financing to do it so it made the most sense for this specific player. The first car, the I don't want to say his name unless he gives me permission to, and if he does, I'll do it on a future podcast. But he was really excited. He was nervous about it because it's a big milestone buying your first car.
Heck yeah.
And Community Cars took care of him because they have a car for every single budget that you could possibly have. They'll find the perfect vehicle for you.
Well, I'm thinking about our intro, right? This is our intro. But yep. we already recorded our outro.
Right?
And I think we said a lot in our outro that like normally we would say in our intro. So now I'm like, what are we going to talk about in our intro that we didn't cover in our outro?
Well, we could talk about the fact that IU women's basketball just announced two big transfer portal signings, sharpshooter from Penn State and a power forward center from Tennessee. So that's awesome to replace Sarah Scalia and Mac. Gotta love that. Grace Berger, saw her on some videos for the Indiana Fever training camp that just kicked off. It's pretty exciting.
This is how you reload. This is what you do now when you're one of the top programs in the country, season upon season. And I love that, you know, we grew up and Tennessee was the program. And now not only is our head coach turning down their job, she's also poaching their players.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. I will just say this. I texted with Grace to just wish her luck on the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to get her. I'm like, come on now. Is it weird having Caitlin as your teammate? And her answer was great. Much better to have her as your teammate than playing against you.
Look, you've been watching the Pacers game. Pacers games. I had a buddy hit me up, and he's like, Caitlin Clark is the new Taylor Swift, because they kept cutting to Caitlin at the game. Yeah. I think it might have been game three, the first one in Indy. And look, yes, as an all things Indiana fan, including the Fever, I was much happier when Grace was drafted to the team. But I will take her stance. Like, if we can't beat her, which we did, we beat her the last time we played her, let her join us. So she's coming to us. And I love the state of Indiana having do we say she's the most famous female basketball player ever? Certainly right now in the world. Certainly right now.
Yeah, I don't know where people like Cheryl Swoops and Lisa Leslie, who kind of transcended.
Those were household names, but I don't ever feel like they quite sort of seemed like they were starting.
Caitlin Clark was the most popular sports star in America for the last, 2 months. And that's never happened before in the sport of women's basketball. Their games were getting over 10 million people watching them. I mean, more than any of the men's games.
Did you ever think the women's national championship would have more viewers than the men's?
I guess
I would have said that's probably going to be the case if you put Purdue in the national championship, because nobody wants to watch that.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So it was a perfect storm of things that happened. But no, it's awesome. It's awesome for Indiana. I will tell you, I looked up tickets to go to a Fever Sparks game. When they come to LA, every game is sold out. Every game that Caitlin plays in is sold out. And the secondary market was selling tickets. I wanted to take my girls and maybe have them bring a couple friends. Stella's on a basketball team. They were like $300 a piece for the cheapest ticket.
No
on the
kidding.
Secondary market. Yeah. So it's an amazing thing. I'm really excited for Terry Moran that she was able to reload. She's bringing in two freshmen that there's a lot of hype for. One's a 6'4" athlete, center, Faith Wiseman, who has some athletic ability as well. So the future continues to be bright for Indiana women's basketball. Indiana baseball is starting to play better after a rough start. They crushed the ball over the weekend. That was fun to see. We got Todd Yeagley reloading with some big transfers coming in for next year. So the health of overall IU athletics is as good as it can be, it seems, or is at least as good overall as it has been in a long time. We just need to get football and basketball, right?
Well, and as our guest mentions later, but we'll shout it out here too, men's and women's swimming and diving, and then the women's golf team just won the Big Ten. So it is very healthy across the board. And I always remember looking at like a Stanford or UCLA, where it's like not only were, they good – well, I guess Stanford has never been really consistently great in basketball or football, but certainly they've had teams and seasons. UCLA has that. How cool would it be just to be a program that's just like killer across the board?
Yeah, just and good in everything.
And yeah, now we just need men's basketball and football.
We'll
be in that conversation.
And look, that's why we brought on our guest today.
That's right.
To talk about all of these things, all of the sports, but specifically football and basketball. And I want to do a little bit of a preface on this one that we don't typically do. There were a couple big kind of Indiana University-wide topics that we did not bring up with our guest for specific reasons, and I want to articulate those. The first is, there's been the story of Pam Whitten being in some real trouble at Indiana. There was the vote of no confidence from the faculty. There was an overwhelming vote of no confidence. And we decided that we didn't want to bring that up with our guest today, because the truth is he works for her And if anybody's going to answer questions about her performance, it shouldn't be people that work for her. It should be the people that she works for. And so if Quinn Buckner wants to actually say yes to us and come on our podcast, we'd love to ask him to explain his letter of support. We've asked Quinn to come on the show multiple times, both on phone calls, text, and in person. And he has rejected all of them. That's his right. He doesn't have to come on and talk about it. Wish he would. But other members of the board of trustees, those are the people that should be asked questions about Pam Whitten and what's going on there. But our guest today is not one of them, so we didn't want to do that. And then the other was, you know, obviously there is the major story happening on college campuses across the country is the unrest between pro-Israeli rallies and pro-Palestinian supporters. And there's been a ton of conflict on those. And I'm not going to weigh in on that because I get too emotional about it. And our podcast isn't about that. But also, it didn't seem right to talk to the athletic director whose job it is to get the sports right and win a bunch of games. I didn't want to ask him about that either. So that's why both those questions, if you're wondering why we didn't ask, that's why I just don't think that he's in a position to really talk about the civil unrest on campus. That's not under his purview. And I don't think it's right to ask him about his boss, who he's got no control over, and her job performance. I think that's the job of the people she works for. Other than that, there was nothing off limits. And those two things weren't off limits either. We just decided not to talk about them. But there were no rules on this. He gave us about an hour of his time, even though he only had about 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was a bit of a ticking clock. So there was a little like, okay, skip, maybe we're skipping a couple things on the fly, maybe sort of condensing a couple questions into two or three at once. But I do feel like we covered the ground we wanted to cover.
I hope so. And if there's a question that you would have asked and we didn't, I just want to say this to you. Go. Then go start your own podcast and book the AD and ask him your own questions. We're doing the best we can for two morons in Los Angeles, okay?
Yeah.
It's amazing we're able to actually get the computers to turn on.
Just, I'm still hoping we hit record. It's always a little suspenseful until I see it downloading.
I just checked when you said that to make sure I had it recorded. That's what you're dealing with. So the fact that there's even audio is a technological marvel from the two idiots in LA. Okay. So if we don't ask a question that you think we should have asked, that's why. You're smarter than us. We're idiots. And also, go fuck yourself.
There's one person out there, being like, that's it. I'm never listening to them again.
If it took now to get that person, then that person is a glutton for punishment.
To be fair, that person just started listening last week.
All right. What do you say we get to it?
Yes, sir.
Here comes our guest. Here comes our guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm talking extra fast because this guy is super busy. He's got a lot of responsibilities. He's in charge of so many things we love so much. We're so glad to have him back on the show. Eric, who is our special, special guest today?
Hailing from Michigan City, Indiana, we're talking to a gentleman who is the IU basketball manager for four seasons. Back in the 80s, he helped win a national title. He can say that. He graduated with a degree in majoring in SPIA because he couldn't get into the Kelley School of Business. he went and worked with Tim Knight Enterprises. He joined the IU Varsity Club in December 89. And from 2002 to 2009, he was the director of the Varsity Club before becoming deputy director of athletics at Indiana from 2009 to 2020. He's been instrumental in virtually every major facilities improvement and project at IU in the last decade plus. All the improvements at with Cook Hall, Assembly Hall, the new baseball stadium, the end zone projects at the football stadium, everything you can imagine he's been instrumental in. And then, of course, he was named the athletic director for Indiana University. He has now been the athletic director for about 4 years now. I think we're at 4 years. He is, of course, none other than Scott Dolson.
The speed thing was pretty funny. That was pretty
good. Scott, you know how they show those pictures of presidents when they like go into office and then how like they've aged after 4 years? I think you're impervious to that. I think you go through a similar amount of stress and headaches and busyness, but you look like you just rolled off the 87 championship team.
That's awful nice of you to say that. It is funny because the person who in our publications department who does the headshots said, "Hey, I think we need to get a new headshot of you. I think we've got an old one." And it was like taken like a year and a half ago. So that made me a little paranoid. So my wife does point out that the gray, I didn't have much gray hair when I took over, but it's coming fast.
Yeah, that's why you go my route. Go bald, and then it's just nobody can tell you that you've gone gray, right, except in the beard. All right, we want to get to it. So let's, first of all, thank you for doing this. This is not something you have to do, and we really appreciate you coming on and having a conversation with us. Let's start with football. Let's talk about football. So obviously, the big thing that happened was you brought in Coach Cignetti to take over the Indiana football program. I don't really want to go back and relitigate the reasons why you brought him in. I think that's been well covered and you've done a good job talking about that. And I think we all see kind of the difference. But the big question we want to ask you is, from what you see through transfer portal, spring, you know, all that, what is different about what you're seeing now that gives you optimism for the future?
Well, I tell you, it's been really interesting process, because I know I don't want to go too far backwards, but in the process that ultimately led to the hiring of Coach Cignetti, we put a lot of work into really studying both kind of the history of Indiana football, what's worked and maybe what hasn't, why we've had some inconsistencies. You know, I've got a person on our staff that is just phenomenal at really digging into data information and just does a great job. I don't want to say his name because everyone will kind of, he likes being behind the scenes, but he's one of those unsung heroes behind the scene that is just phenomenal. But we looked at, you know, we looked at our history of football. We looked deep into schools like that would be similar to ours, like North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, maybe that had a strong basketball tradition, but then started to really come on in football and tried to put together a pro forma of what were some of the things we can learn. Why have they been successful at times and not? And ultimately led to this kind of a description of what a potential head coach would look like here that would be the best fit, which led to Coach Sig. And so it's a long answer to the question, but since he's arrived, all the things that we talked about before he got here and then ultimately since he got here, he's really delivered on. And he's got a blueprint, and he talks about his blueprint. And the organization, the attention to detail, the purpose for everything that he does. And the way I can explain it is I've asked a couple of our current players who were on the roster for the past couple of years, you know, I'll see in the hallway or in the weight room or wherever. And I say, "Hey, you know, how's it going? Tell me what's going on." And to a person, they are saying, you know, it's funny because we just know exactly what's expected of us. Our practices are shorter, but we're honestly, this is going through spring practice. We're really getting so much done. We know what we're supposed to do. So it's, there's kind of this, and it's hard because I'm not knocking anything in the past. And I hate to say that, but it sounds like, you know, it's new, it's different. And so what, you know, I'm not trying to criticize anything in the past, but more what's, you're asking what's different. The organization is just different. The detail, the points of emphasis, and it's everything from the very first time I talked to Coach Sig on the phone. It was on that Sunday at like 5:30, and he laid out what his blueprint is. That's what we're doing right now, and it's exciting to be a part of.
Are you scared of him at all?
No, he really, it's funny because he's really, when you get to know him, he's really funny. He's not, sometimes, you know, he came in a little, you know, kind of a little
braggadocious.
A little braggadocious. You know, he's kind of, but that confidence is really important. We wanted someone who knew how to win, who understood winning, and it's okay to talk about winning. He honestly is, and he said this to me a number of times. He honestly is an under-promise and over-deliver type person. Now, you'd never believe me for saying that, but he did say when he came in, he said, you know, I had to see if our fan base was asleep or were they dead. You know, and he said, I found they were just asleep. We had to get things going a little bit, but he knows it all comes down to results, to results-oriented business, and he wants to ultimately no one wants to win more than him, and he wants to under promise over deliver.
So yeah. Speaking of results, right? It is first year, you know, you got a huge turnover of the roster, new coach, new program, new way of doing things. What are the expectations for the team in your mind? Maybe they're the same as what coaches are. You know, we've all looked at the schedule. It's not like murderer's row, especially early on. What for you are the expectations of a first successful season in this new era?
You know, stating the obvious. Now, most the AD answer in the AD handbook would obviously say, you know, it's not about a number, it's how you play and all that stuff. And I don't want to lose credibility. Certainly, we have high expectations. I mean, it starts with Coach Sig. You know, we want to certainly put ourselves in a position that really puts ourselves on a map in the new Big Ten. You know, beyond that, it's about how we play. It's about our swagger. It's about the things that really, really good programs do. You know, I want to see that. I want to feel it. And it's one of those things that sometimes in my position, being behind the scenes, you get a feel for things. And sometimes the feel is different than what fans see. Sometimes it's the same thing. And what I want is behind the scenes, I want the feel that we're gaining that confidence and not just talking about it, but in every game we go into, there's a belief that if we do the things that the coaches have laid out for us to do, we execute, that we're going to have a chance to win. And you feel that. And I want to feel it. I want to be in that locker room and understand that the players know that we expect to win. And that's a culture change that we have to have.
In all fairness to the prior regime, there was a time where we all felt like we felt that too. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we beat Penn State. We beat Michigan. We beat Wisconsin. Like, it all felt, and we went to January bowl games back to back. And look, let's be honest, we gave them an extension, right? Like, you were part of that. So we felt that then also. How do you reconcile, you felt it that then, and it didn't work out, and now you're feeling something else? How do you, I mean, in the end, it is just about results, isn't it? So when you say you want to feel it, that's great. But I guess I would say, when you say you want to feel it, does that also mean you want to be in a bowl game in year one?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all results-oriented business, but I think part of it is that I'm big into understanding what the game plan is, not the game plan, how are we going to beat UCLA at UCLA, but what is the blueprint of the program? And you are right, and we had some great momentum, and unfortunately, we lost that momentum. And when you lose that, you know, what can you learn from that? How did we lose it? What was going on? Were we did we have a poor execution of our game plan, or did we have a bad game plan? And game plan encompassing everything from recruiting to player development to strategy on the field. And so that's back to what I said earlier, when I really looked into, and we looked into as a staff, how do programs get consistent? How do you build a consistent year in and year out team not necessarily you're going to make a bowl game every year, although that's obviously what you'd hope to do, but how can you perform at a level where you feel like you're consistently putting yourself in a position to win, and then hopefully strike those big years when things do go your way? And so, you know, for me and what we've done all this work, what I'm anxious to do is really the things that we're looking for. Are we really measuring up to the things and fulfilling the things that we hope we do to build that consistent program with the ability to win?
Nothing more important, maybe, than the head coach himself in athletics right now, particularly basketball and football, NIL. Obviously, you know, we've got our ear to the ground on the basketball side of things, but for people, and this is a lot of people, you know, and I think you started to see what kind of fan base football could have, what kind of support football could have, but what are you seeing behind the scenes as far as, like, maybe this was part of the conversation with Coach before you brought him in. Now he's on the ground there. We have to figure, unlike basketball, we're probably pretty far behind a lot of major programs in football, NIL. Where is that right now? How do you feel about the future of NIL support for our football program?
You know, I feel really good. And let me say this, it all starts with laying the foundation for the NIL program. And I go back to when it started, and I certainly look at you guys talking about it and getting involved at the very beginning, which was really, really important. you know, the setup with Hoosiers for Good and Hoosiers Connect, which you guys know as well, has created a real foundation that we could build on. And so I think our setup, the actual setup itself, with what you guys know with FanFest, what Hoosiers for Good and Hoosiers Connect have done in major gift fundraising and different things, I think that our setup, and I'm not saying this because of my role, but I'm just saying this as it compares to, and as I talk to other programs, athletic directors around the country, people who are experts, our setup is really good. So you have to have a good structure. Secondly, our donors, our fans have continued to rise to the occasion and every time we need it. And I don't take that for granted. You know, I grew up in the fundraising world, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. It continues to amaze me, the support we get. And what's happened here, and I'm getting to your football question, is that our fans, our supporters, when they realize where the need is and they understand it, they step up. And the reality is, if we didn't have the support for football NIL that we were able to put together and cobble together and continue to grow, Coach Sig wouldn't be here. Because in the interview process, whether it's Coach Sig or any other coach, you know, that's one of the first, if not the first question is, they want to know, can they win at the school they're going to? Is there a commitment to winning? And our fans and the support that we've had has been off the charts. And so certainly we need more. We're not there yet. But the ability to attract a coach like Coach Sig, we would not have been able to do that if it weren't for the setup we have, the ability to have the mechanism to drive NIL. It's not some fly-by-night back alley program that is under the table. It's totally legit. And it's all very transparent. And with that, we've been able to get enough interest that we've had the gifts that have come in that have helped all of our programs, but particularly football, men's basketball. And now we're really seeing a surge and working hard on women's basketball as well. And comprehensively, just couldn't be more thankful and appreciative for all the support that we receive.
So the other side of big time college athletics, which has taken somewhat of a backseat because of NIL, is facilities. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, our football facilities have not been top tier for a long time. There was a survey sent out that I believe you sent out to fans, getting their opinions on game day and where should money be spent on football. There was a big announcement with the I don't know if it's pronounced Levy or Levy deal for Consent Levy. Mm-hmm. So where are we, Scott? You and I have talked about this. I think we've talked about it on this podcast. Where are we with facilities improvements? We know about the north end zone and the south end zone, but look, the bathrooms and concessions and the concourse is terrible at Memorial Stadium. It does not make for a good game day experience. What is the latest on that, as well as the football-only locker room that was announced, weight facility? Where can you tell us about those projects?
Yeah, great question. I'll try to give you the shortest answer I can because there's a lot there, but I really like talking about that because let me just quickly say, looking backwards, you know, I do want to give Fred Glass a ton of credit because under his regime, I was involved in, but his vision for our facilities, I think if you look at his decade as AD, the things that we did to elevate our facilities around our athletic campus is really his legacy, and among other things. But I think that, so he put us in a good position. Okay. I really feel our facilities overall, there are times people have said, football, we don't have the facilities enough to win in football here. And, you know, I disagree with that in terms of from a player standpoint. From a team standpoint, we've come so far and we're good there. So looking forward back to, you know, the survey that we put out and where we are from the weight room only for football, we're actually, the plans are finalized. It should be happening here relatively soon, where we're dividing up the Wilkins Performance Center downstairs. We're dividing that in half, creating a football only section, totally redoing that. We've already we spent close to $1 million on equipment for both the football side and the other side, complete branding package. Like I said, a wall is coming up. So it's going to be a state-of-the-art football-only facility. And then on the other side of the room will be for our Olympic sports, which will be awesome as well. And everybody, it's kind of a win-win for everybody. So that's
when do you see that being done?
It should be done by the end of the summer. So it should be ready for this coming season. So that's
all right. And what about, let's talk about concourse and bathrooms.
So then you're talking about the survey. So really what I would call more from a fan experience, from a fan amenity standpoint. And we're really digging into that, both what we could do on a short-term basis. You mentioned the Levy deal with Levy concessions. So we have been one of the last schools in the country at a Power Four level that we had our own concessions and food service operation, catering for our training table. People did a phenomenal job. Honestly, I would leave every football game and can't believe the work that went into it. I can't believe we got all the things done we need to get done at football games from a food perspective. And it really wasn't sustainable. We didn't really have the infrastructure, ultimately, I think, to take that to another level. So we went through a bid process. We've outsourced to Levy Food Services, which is a major concessionaire. They're nationally known, and going through the bid process was great.
We've heard they're disruptors. Is that true? Are they disruptive?
I don't know what you mean by disruptive.
They call themselves disruptors.
It was in the press release. They said they're disruptors.
Yeah,
in a good way.
Right. They're thinking out of the box.
But what does it mean, Scott? Does it mean we're going to have better hot dogs? I mean, fresher popcorn?
Like grab and go. Grab and go.
Yeah, we're looking at all of our food services. So you'll see at our concession stands at football games, you'll see a little different look. We're trying to modernize them the best we can, given the infrastructure we have. More offerings, different things. And so they've got Gambers Fieldhouse, Levy does. They've got Louisville. They've got Purdue. They've got a footprint around here, too, so they could draw from all that. So in the short term, we're doing some things. Big picture, back to the survey, what we've looked at is how can we improve our fan experience, much like we did in Simon Scott Assembly Hall. So we're working with our university vice president for capital planning. We're working with outside consultants. We're working with an outside architect. Ultimately, put together a plan to say, what should the stadium look like for the future? And I think from our perspective, or from my perspective, we wouldn't, you know, go into an 18-team league in the Big Ten and how big football is, we'd be short-sighted if we thought we could just sustain the relevancy of football that we need to just with the stadium we have. So we're looking at all that, while at the same time, in order for a big project like that to happen, you have to have a lead donor like Cindy Simon Scott did for Assembly Hall, which became Simon Scott Assembly Hall. So we're actively looking for that lead major naming type gift that can get that project off the ground. So it's like a parallel tracks. Let's put together the vision based on the feedback we got from the fans. Let's put together then the ultimate game plan. What would this look like? You know, do we keep the press box and renovate? Do we tear it down? What do we do? As you said, restrooms, concession stands, access and egress, all those aspects of modernizing the stadium. What can we afford? How much money can we raise? Coupled with understanding that right now the need for NIL money for football.
You'd rather every one of those pennies go to NIL, wouldn't
you?
Yeah.
How do we balance that? So and those are things that strategically we have to, because there's just not an unlimited supply.
Sure.
You saw, like, with the hype that came with the success for a couple seasons there, the way that stadium was filling up, despite all its shortcomings, people were still showing up. And that if, in my mind, you get as much money as you need for NIL, you start seeing the results on the field. People start filling up the stadium. Just the money you're going to need, whether to upgrade the current stadium or to build a new one, is probably going to be easier and faster coming in once there's a good team playing in that stadium than the other way around.
Yeah, I think there's positive momentum now to at least have the project starting to get legs. And that's what we're doing, is trying to get it to move. And you have to have a plan and a vision first, because as we meet with potential donors, ultimately, that could make the lead gift, they want to know what is the vision and why. And honestly, it's about fan experience. But to me, the passion I have for the project is about making certain we stay relevant in the Big Ten. I think a big part of my role in my chair is to make certain that as we look towards the future of college athletics and all the topics, which I said, I just got off a Big Ten AD call and my head is spinning a little bit because there's so many things: revenue share, conference expansion, NIL, transfer portal, all those topics are out there and it's just spinning, right? How can I and our department, how can I lead this department to make sure that we stay relevant, that we don't want to be on the outside looking in? And I think we're fine for now. I don't want to alert anyone that we're like on the cusp of being put out. But I think having a strong football program, a commitment to football, is vital to being relevant in the Big Ten. And you can see that with hiring Coach Sig, with the investments as we studied other schools, the investments in staff, the investments in facilities, the investments to make certain that we could put ourselves in a position to have success. And honestly, this isn't me being a Pollyanna or trying to convince anybody of anything, but I believe we can win here or else I wouldn't be here. And that's not, like I said, just trying to, I want to underpromise, overdeliver too, but we're not in it to make certain we can just, you know, once in a while get to a bowl game once every, you know, 3 or 4 years. We want to consistently win. I met with a football recruit yesterday that was here, actually Saturday, I forget what day, but Saturday we had a recruit here. I can't say his name, but he was a big defensive tackle, a great young man, and that could really be a big help to us. And we talked about what is the vision for this football program. And again, it's not, I'm not sitting around here. We're not as a staff sitting around here just thinking we can just kind of be a lower third in the Big Ten team. We want to change history and get this program to a level that really does so much for the entire university and keeps us relevant in the Big Ten.
So fair to say, while you want to do a big capital project and infrastructure project, it's not imminent.
Yeah, I would say it's not imminent, meaning it's not in the next 6 months, but okay. It all depends on
the lead donor.
If the lead donor comes through in the next few months, which we've got prospects and we're working on things, that it could happen fast. And okay. Honestly, it happened with Simon Scott Sydney Hall. Now, will that, I don't know. You know, those are tough gifts. There's not a, you know, we need a major gift to make it happen.
Scott, I got all this podcast money burning a hole in my pocket. Let's talk afterwards.
Yeah. Let's talk. We can
outfit you with 3 porta potties. That's what we can do. Can you give us an update on where season tickets are at? How have season ticket sales been with the enthusiasm surrounding Coach Sig?
Yeah, I just got a report last week. It's going really, really well. I think we're 10% ahead of where we were last year. And honestly, and this is a credit to Coach Allen and the program, the momentum that we had really going back to the COVID year. You know, our ticket sales have been up every year since COVID. And so it's nice to see that positive trend. We did not go backwards in any of those tough 3 years we've had. But it's good to see them up. And just for me, anecdotally, as I'm out and about seeing people, it's amazing the energy that's been created and the excitement. You know, I feel like there's a real optimism out there, even just talking to people in the community or out and about. I mean, it's amazing. You know, people come up and I'll see them and they want to talk about women's basketball. They want to talk about, certainly where we are with football, and they can't wait for football season. And you know, now there's been a renewed excitement. You know, people are excited about basketball and what's going on there. And so I feel like there's a real good energy around the department right now.
Perfect segue. Women's basketball. Let's talk about it. Coach Morin got herself a very well-deserved extension. Could you just talk about, you know, the team this season, where you feel the state of the program is, where it's headed. And we all know that Coach Morin deserved that, but just talk about your decision to do that and how much fun it must have been to reward her so justly.
Yeah, she's awesome. And she is who you think she is. I mean, she's what you want in a head coach. And honestly, when you look at our department right now, and we talk about building programs, not just teams, and it's hard to say that in the transfer portal world, and there's so much movement. But what we look at, if you look right now at our department, you look at men's soccer, you look at men's swimming and diving, and women's swimming and diving. And I talked to Ray Luz and Todd Yeagley about that. And now you look at women's basketball, it's not just what's happened in the last year or 2 years. It's been since she arrived. She put together that blueprint we talked about. If you want to see how to build a program, how to put together a plan that says, this is how we're going to recruit. This is the type of player that can win here for us and play and succeed. This is how we develop our players. This is how we're going to play. She's done all those things and more. And to see, if you'd have told me that we'd average 10,000 fans a game in women's basketball here at IU, which was only the third time, I believe, in Big Ten history, maybe fourth, that a team has averaged 10,000 fans a game. Mm-hmm. And to see the excitement that's been created, it's just been awesome. And it's a program, like I said, and her contract and obviously hopefully future contracts are very well deserved, and couldn't be more proud of what she's done and how she represents not just IU Athletics, but the entire university.
All right, we are a little crunched on time, so let's get to basketball, which is obviously the straw that stirs the drink at Indiana University. So we're not going to talk specifically about what's going on in the portal, but I do want to know, look, we've had to be really active in the portal, as most teams are. Is this trend, one, sustainable? Do you think that this is where college basketball is just going to be? You're on AD meetings like you were right before this. Is there talk about curtailing it in some way? And if not, there are programs that don't play in the transfer portal as much as others. We are playing in it pretty big time. Is this what you want for Indiana basketball?
Yeah, I think what we all want, you know, we all want the same things. We want stability, right? We want just what we talked about with women's basketball. And I think, you know, Woody would say the exact same thing. I mean, obviously you want to make certain year in and year out, you're developing your players, that you're making certain that you can have the ability to recruit, whether it's high school or through the portal, the players that you want to develop and can lead us to that point of where we all want our program. You know, I don't see it changing in the short term, just in terms of where sort of the player movement is going. You know, I think we'd be naive to think that it's going to get to a point that it's going to be this really, really stable environment. Because, and honestly, when you look at transfers, you know, I look back, you know, I thought about it a lot, just thinking back to even when I was a manager, players would come and go. My best friend, Delroy Brooks, transferred from here and came in as you know, the number one player in the country, and it didn't work out. It's just one of those things that's become so much, I guess, easier because of the eligibility, right, that you're just going to see it more frequent. I don't really worry as much. You know, we certainly want to have a great, robust pipeline to the high schools and make certain we can recruit at the highest levels, particularly in the state of Indiana. And I know Woody feels the same way. I know he's on the road last week seeing, you know, where he feels are the best players in the state that we're after. But at the same time, you know, it's really, you want that stability and you want to make certain that we're all going towards the same things. And we want that consistently to compete for Big Ten championships, which Woody has said since he got here, Big Ten championships. And if you do that, just like we learned under Coach Knight, you can make runs in the NCAA tournament. And that's what's really, really important.
So that hits expectations, right? Mm-hmm. That your expectations are, not to put words in your mouth, but you just kind of said it, Big mm-hmm. Ten championships on a yearly basis, or competing for Big Ten championships mm-hmm. on a yearly basis. And then the rest kind of works itself out, because if you're good enough for that. So that's not where the program's been for the last 3 years. How would you characterize the last 3 years of this regime, where we've made the tournament a couple times? I get it. You know, that's all good. But we have not competed for a Big Ten championship in any of the 3 years. How do you look at those 3 years, you know, in your job as judging success or not?
Yeah, I would definitely say that we've made significant progress. I'd say we've made progress in multiple areas. But at the end of the day, when you don't compete for a Big Ten championship, although we finished second in year two, but it was, you know, I guess probably as close as we wanted to be. You know, Purdue won the championship. But what I believe is that we continue to make certain that we have the same expectations. Woody has said since he got here, what he wants to make certain that we're competing for Big Ten championships, NCAA championship runs. I've said it from time I grew up under Coach Knight. That's if you don't want to live in that world, then you shouldn't be here. And basically that's what we're trying to do. From my perspective, in my role, I think it's really important that I make certain that we have the resources from a program to put ourselves in a position to get to that consistent level. And that's really, really imperative. And I think right now, what we've seen is that with our resources we've had, whether it's NIL, whether it's around the program, I think we're putting ourselves in a position that we're growing, and that the hope is that we continue to work towards competing at the level that we all want to compete with. And I think it's important to add to that, from a fan perspective, as I see fans, and I know Woody, you know, I might as well throw it out there, you know, Woody said the true fans comment, and people were kind of, well, what did he mean by that, or what is that? And I don't want to speak for Woody on that. I think you know, he can explain that better than I probably can, but I can tell you this: there's nobody who appreciates our fans more than Woody. And growing up here and playing here, Woody has said that since he got here. And that's not me really, you know, the thing I love about Woody can, he's tough, and he can, you know, defend himself. But I think it's important for me to see in my role, you know, how he's embraced the fans and what it means for him to be here. I think Woody is a former player. You know, it's been interesting for me. He cares so much. I think it really hurts because he wants to get us. I mean, he is driven, as he said, since he got here, to get us to the level that we all want us to get to. If I were a fan, there's two things that I think are important for me. Because again, I say to my wife all the time, and I'm going to ramble on this for a minute, but I think it's really important. So I say, if Heidi were on this broadcast with me right now, or this podcast, she would say how many times I'll come home and say, man, I just hope our fans keep hanging there with us because they've been awesome. They've been awesome. And I've said this for 20 years. Our fans, I can remember being in a Big Ten tournament in Chicago 12 years ago. And we lost in the first game and we have the biggest fan base there. And it's like, they just keep coming back and they keep hanging in there. And I appreciate that so much. And it's just like we talked about NIL earlier. You know, the fact that it's continued to step up is awesome. And I just want them to be rewarded. And again, I think my role is to make certain that I provide those resources for the department, do everything I can, just like we're doing with football, women's basketball, across the board, so that we can achieve those things. The thing that I worry about, the second thing is, you know, I just don't want apathy to set in. You know, when you say what worries me about our fans is if we don't hear from them, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, if fans don't care enough to send an email in or write or say something. I want our fans to keep caring because I know how much Woody cares, I know how much I care, I know how much people in this department care that around this program, we all want the same things. There's nobody in the program that's saying, you know, it's a different day and our expectations are lower, our expectations are let's just make the NCAA tournament every year and if that's it, that's it. Nobody is saying that. In fact, I wish every fan, and this is, again, I said this about football, and I apologize for going so long on this, but I think it's really important. You know, I said this when I go in the locker room after games, it's interesting for me to see the players' faces. And in football, I remember going in and towards the end of last season, I felt like there wasn't a belief that we could win. I felt like we needed a change. I just felt like there was a look on the players' faces that really bothered me. When I go in the basketball locker room, I wish our fans could see how much Malik Renew cares, how much Trey Galloway care. I mean, they want the same things that you guys want as fans. I mean, and that gives me inspiration to keep doing whatever I can do and we can do as a department to support Woody and the program to help them win. And like I said, seeing the players, I distinctly remember the Nebraska game, the Big Ten tournament this year going in and seeing Malik and Trey particularly, and those guys want to win. I mean, they really want to win, not just for themselves, but they want to win for our fans. They really do.
I got to push back on just one thing here because you brought up the true fans comment. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you saying that Woody appreciates the fans as much as anybody. But clearly, mm-hmm. that comment divided some of the fan base. And people that have been critical of a 10-10 record in the Big Ten and not even coming close to sniffing the NCAA tournament felt like he was saying, if you don't support me unconditionally, you aren't a true fan. And I think you got to squint pretty hard to say that that's not what he was saying. Look, Scott, we do a podcast where when things don't go well, we're critical. Mm-hmm. Are we not true fans?
Right.
And as the AD, I get it. I'm not asking you to defend or not what he said, but I am asking you, when you heard him say that, did it make you go, ooh, I wish he wouldn't have said that?
Well, What concerned me about it is just how people, when it's not in context, you don't know exactly what that meant. And everybody could look in the mirror and go, I wonder if that meant me or what have you. But knowing him the way I do, knowing some of the things that went on throughout the seasons behind the scenes, that I understood kind of what probably was coming at why, and as I talked to him, why he said that. But it wasn't as literal is probably everyone took it. Again, I'll let him kind of explain that for himself. But, you know, I know him so well, and I know how he feels about our fans. I get it was a tough season. And so I think at that point in the season, when that came out, I think everybody kind of takes it the way they're going to take it. And that's fine. But if anyone wonders, does he truly appreciate all fans and understand sports and having been in the NBA and coach for the Knicks and understand that when a team or a program isn't living up to expectations, there's not going to be criticism or questions. I mean, he's a smart, smart person and he gets that. He just, there's a lot of emotion behind the season and around the team. And again, I think as a former player, not making any excuses for him. I think he cares more. I think it's different for him. And I think that he's passionately behind trying to get our program where it wants to be. So I get where you're saying on that, but I think this isn't my job to say this. I'm just saying, as a fan myself, as someone who grew up in the program, you know, the last thing I would worry about is him not being 100% in support of all of our fans. You can trust me on that.
So as we're crazy fans, we are, that's our whole thing. We're in there in the muck and the mire, you know, losing 10 of 14, like the season's like falling apart. Everybody's freaking out. You know, later, of course, we're going to lose Liam McNeely. Like, that's coming along too. And we don't have anybody coming in the fall. Through all this madness, what gives you the faith that the future is best for IU basketball with Coach Woodson? Because, you know, I think so many people after one game want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, much less a bad season. So how do you just stick in there and decide this is logically, rationally, calmly what's best for IU basketball?
Yeah, I think ultimately you need to look at it from really across the department in a lot of ways, because even though basketball is such a lightning rod, but you can look at football as well. You can look at other sports. But when what happens when things you go through challenging times, you know, I think of my role is to make certain I'm staying even keel and really continuing to evaluate what the program needs. And I remember during football season this year, there was a point where someone reached out to me, a friend of mine, and said, "Hey, Scott, just a heads up, you're really getting criticized because people want you to come out and speak about football. And what do you think about football? What's going on with the football program? And what are you going to do about some of the challenges of football?" And, you know, the problem is every time something goes wrong or something isn't going great, if you come out and say something, then at times if you don't come out and say something, then people read so much, you know, it's just like even just now, just talking about the true fans comments can just be parsed apart in so many different ways. You're almost hurting more than you're helping. And the reality is what I want our fans to know is what's really important is I have the same expectations that everybody does. And saying that I want to make certain that whether it's men's basketball and what we talked about, the expectations there, or talked about expectations for football, but expectations around the department. And if I ever feel just like we just did in football this season, that we couldn't meet those expectations, then we would make a change. And that's for any sport. And I understand that there are times during the season that people want me to be held accountable or say, "Hey, things aren't going well. What are you doing about it?" And you know what? I own that, and I take full responsibility for everything in this department. I don't care if it's the hot dogs don't taste well, or much less, you know, a program that is so, so important to this university, to the state of Indiana, and our men's basketball program. It's on me, and I don't make any excuses about that, and I own that. But at the same time, I want to make certain our fans have a trust that I've got to make certain to keep a level head and make certain that my role for all of our programs is to make certain that we put the program in the best position for success. I provide within our department and where we can to provide the resources for success. And if at some point, if I don't feel just like we just did in football, that we have a chance to meet those, we'll make a change and walk up to those changes. But to have kind of frequent updates throughout a season when we have a tough loss would only, in my view, hurt the program rather than help it, because people will just parse apart and try to say, "Well, I don't know. He wasn't as strong on Woody as I thought he'd be. I'm not sure he supports Woody." Well, if Woody's our coach, believe me, I support Woody 100%. I support Terry Moore 100%. Jeff Mercer was at baseball yesterday. If our coach is here, he has got 1,000% support from me and our department to put them in a position to win. And like I said, it's, I know that doesn't satisfy the thirst of maybe fans at times, because I get it. I'm a fan of the Chicago Cubs. You know, I want to know what they're thinking behind the scenes. But again, I don't think it helps if every time things get a little challenging that I come out with some type of a statement. And at the end of the year last year, there was never a statement that was put out. Woody was never not coming back. And the reality was, because I understood where the foundation of the program is, and when it came out that Woody would return, I was asked a question from a reporter, and I said, "Yeah, of course he's coming back." And that was it. And that little thing, just saying yes, got turned into like a lot of different things in a way. In hindsight, I wish I would have just not even answered that at all, because just by saying yes caused a lot of questions out there that I think is a perfect example why throughout the season it's not smart. And I don't think you see many athletic directors around the country that are coming out. And that's not being defensive at all. Like I said, I own it, mm-hmm. and I'm not afraid to speak on things that are sensitive subjects, but I don't think it's smart to have to come out all the time and to say, here's sort of the feel of the week or the month on this program. If they're here, they've got our full support.
We've got limited time left, but I do want to ask this, which is a little sensitive, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Sure.
Look, you are the head of the athletic department, but you are not the owner of Indiana University.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you aren't Mark Cuban, who, when he owns the Mavericks, can decide what he wants to do and doesn't have to answer to anybody. There was a lot written that, and a lot said by various people that, while, of course, you lead the department, perhaps your voice isn't the only voice that matters on matters like that, on when a change needs to be made. How do you react to that? Is that fair that you, that there are other stakeholders that weigh in on things like this? I mean, and I'll just say my understanding is, even going back when Tom Crean was let go, that it wasn't just Fred Glass's decision, that there were other people involved in that decision and maybe even convinced Fred Glass that that was the way to go. Is that a fair way to look at it, that while there are decisions that could be yours completely, perhaps some of these sensitive ones involve other people?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that I'm not a free agent. Fred wasn't a free agent, that I certainly, he reported to the president. I report to the president. Certainly the president reports to the board of trustees. But at the end of the day, you know, I wouldn't have this job, and Fred wouldn't have had the job before, knowing Fred the way I do, that if you don't, at some point, if the athletic director's recommendations aren't taken, then the athletic director is pretty much, you know, a puppet, and really would need to. And I wouldn't have this job if I didn't have the ability to make the recommendations and get the support that I need to lead the department. And so that doesn't mean that at times that I have to discuss that, and I've had to in the past, and say, this is why I feel this way. And I should be, because again, no one in my view should be without some type of a boss or to have a leadership, you know, certainly be accountable to someone. So I'm accountable to the president. You know, President Whitten has been fantastic. She's been great. For her to take my recommendation on making the change in football, in the investment we made in that, you know, says a lot. And so I'm comfortable with the position I have here and the support that I have to do the job I need to do.
Last quick question from me. Is it been more fun to be the Indiana University athletic director before this year's transfer portal or after this year's transfer?
Well, I'll say this, and this is going to sound, and my staff will say, because I, you know, I sometimes say corny stuff or whatever, but even when it's tough, you know, I absolutely feel extremely fortunate to have this job, to grow up an IU fan, to grow up dreaming of playing for IU, falling a little short, but becoming a manager, but still having an opportunity to be a part of this program, and then to ultimately have an opportunity to be a part of such a great team here and lead the team and be a part of the university in the way I am, even when it's tough, you know, I feel like the luckiest person around. And that sounds corny, but I really do. And I do feel like, you know, I keep it in perspective, because, you know, I had, you know, my brother-in-law, who was our team doctor, passed away. It'll be 3 years ago this football season, who had, you know, a horrible fight with cancer. And honestly, when you watch him go through that, whenever it gets so tough that the job is like, and it can get stressful, don't get me wrong, but, you know, you have to keep things in perspective. And, you know, my family's awesome. My kids are great. They have fun with, they all five of them went to IU here, and, you know, Heidi. So the whole story. So the thing is, I just don't want for our fans, for something that is, in my view, should be so positive, you know, not to say that there'll be down days, but IU athletics with all the tough things in life today should be a great feeling thing for people. And I don't like it when a positive turns into a negative. So it's not to say that there's going to be criticism. It doesn't bother me. I take it seriously. I listen to criticism. There might be some good ideas out there. I've been criticized before. I've thought, that's a really good point. I'm not kind of sensitive that way. I don't take it personally, but I do want IU Athletics to be something that uplifts university and something that brings families together. And I see it. I see as I go around and I see people who are like, I was with my mom and dad and I was able to watch us beat Iowa this year and Caitlin Clark at home. And that was so awesome. And those, how many people can say, again, it's corny, where they had these great IU times together. So I want to keep it serious where we're trying to do the best job we can, that we're trying to win. We talk about winning in this department a ton. We're not here to finish second. We're here to win. And I believe that, but I also want to keep it in perspective. We want to make certain that we're here to bring people together and elevate the entire university and give people positive experiences.
I got two more quick hitters. Sure. The first is, in your press conference, when you announced Mike Woodson as the coach, one mm-hmm. of the things you talked about was you wanted somebody to come in and play modern basketball mm-hmm. and offensive, figure out the offense, because let's be honest, under Archie Miller, it was like watching paint dry. Well, one of the biggest critiques of the Mike Woodson era has been, we're not playing modern basketball. We're not shooting threes. We don't have 3-point shooters. I guess my question is, do you see it that way? And is that a conversation that you have with Woody about bringing in analytics people? How in the weeds do you get when clearly that was something you stated as important to you?
Yeah, it's kind of what I said was, which I still believe is, and kind of Trace is a perfect example of that, Trace Jackson Davis, and that Woody is a bridge. He's a bridge to the past. He's a bridge to the future. And I think modernizing our program in every way is really important. And I think we've done it in a lot of ways. I do not get into micromanaging in any sport, much less basketball, exactly what the offensive strategy is. I think in large regard, what Woody and his staff has been doing. And again, I've been around basketball my whole life, so it's not like I'm naive to exactly what we're doing out there. I go to practice probably, I try to go every Friday. It's kind of my thing to remind me why I'm here. It's kind of a cool thing during the season, but in terms of just the fun part of things. But I think what Woody's trying to do is make certain that he's running the offense that will work the best given the roster we have and given the talent we have, how can we bring that together? And so that's, to me, is what are we doing to make certain that we're maximizing the opportunity with the team we have? And, he's been asked, I heard him on his radio show one time, we were talking about 3-point shooting and gosh, the teams, the average number of 3-point shots other teams take and all this. And it's like, we don't need 3-point shooters. We need 3-point makers. And, I think that's what he's been trying to do in the portal and making certain that we can have a roster that can support the offense that he wants to run. So that's kind of a rambling answer. I don't, it's results
oriented. You don't get into it in that.
I don't sit okay. I don't sit in the film room and say, and I remember there was a time period when in football and I was getting killed by people, even like at the grocery store saying, you got to make sure Tom Allen gets a new offensive line coach.
Right.
This person came up to me at Kroger one time and was making some great points. Was like, well, you're not doing your job and you got to get,
you're like, can I just get a pound and a half of roast beef?
And it's like, and it's kind of like, I don't think sometimes people understand the role of AD. I'm not the general manager where I go and sit in with a football coach and say, talk to me. I'd certainly ask questions, but I've got to trust the head coach that they know who's best in their view, because they're getting judged.
Right. Well,
their job is on the line. Who's the offensive line coach and who's not.
Up until the point where the results don't match the expectations, and that's where you step in.
And then you hold the head coach accountable and say, look.
All right. This is a quick hitter that hopefully you can give us some insight on. The Adidas deal.
Right.
The apparel deal. I believe the last one was up this year, 2024.
Right. Correct.
Is that going to continue? Are we shopping? What's going to happen there?
Yeah, it's real close to getting finalized. I don't want to give too many details out, but it's real close to getting finalized. And
a renewal or someone new?
It will be a renewal. And I know there are people out there. Again, this is going to sound,
This has been one of those fan hot button things where we think we know best, of course.
I know. I get it.
And, we go into the Memorial Union and see shitty clothes and we're like, well, clearly we need to get rid of the Adidas deal. But I guess forgetting all that, Scott, for a second.
Right.
Can you assure fans that, there were issues with the Adidas deal? Have you addressed what you think were the issues going forward?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Again, and again, it's a complicated process, but I will say this, that the Adidas deal has been a really, really, really good deal for us. And I know it's easy on the outside, and I'm not being defensive of that, but people would say, oh, you know, Nike's got nicer,
right?
You know, 3/4 zips or, you know, this or that. And you can say, well, Adidas has this, but from our perspective, and I'll go into much more detail when I can on the deal, it's nice to be, you know, really, really highly regarded by Adidas. And we are really highly regarded.
Scott, real quick, my kind of not Monday morning quarterbacking, but I'll say backseat driver on this has always been that with the explosion of NIL, that the big money that these shoe companies were paying or merchant or apparel companies were paying were a little bit of a thing of the past. Is that a fair assessment of the landscape, and that those the big money that, I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars at one point, that has been regulated a little bit, or should we expect something similar to what we've seen in the past?
Yeah, I think the deals are changing. The cash in the deals it's changing. Right. Yeah, okay. The environment is changing rapidly. And so, yeah, we're trying to make certain we can sustain an opportunity that really helps our department a great deal.
All right. And just before you leave, I got to ask, if Indiana finishes fifth in the Big Ten next year and squeaks into the NCAA tournament, loses a game, you know, maybe wins the first round, loses the second round, barring extenuating injury circumstances, would you say that that's not good enough?
Well, I think we all have the same high expectations for the program. And I think Woody has said that since he got here. So I think obviously we want to continue to have progress and continue to feel like we're on the right path. And right now our path is making certain that, you know, Woody and his staff are working tirelessly on the roster. And then we'll get into our summer program and get into, you know, developing the team. But I think we all want to compete for the Big Ten championship and make runs in the tournament. And I think all of us, Woody would say that, and I think everyone on the staff would say that. I think the players would say that. I met with, I don't know if I can say it yet, if he has signed officially, but I met with a basketball transfer last week.
I don't think you can say it yet.
I don't think I can say his name yet because I don't think it's official, but he said.
But I hear it was a good meeting.
It's a good meeting. He said to me, he said I was good. He said, you know, I want us to win a Big Ten championship. I'm coming here to win and to compete. And I think, again, you can't shy away from that. That's so if you fall short of that, then I think, just like I said, Trey and Malik were in the locker room. I think it's disappointing because that's what we all want.
I got to ask one more question. Sorry.
Sure.
You are born and bred an Indiana Hoosier.
Mm-hmm.
How much does what Purdue has done in basketball specifically, how much does that success impact you and how you think about Indiana basketball?
Honestly, it's a funny question because this is going to sound like that I'm supposed to say this, but this is how I feel. Two things. You know, I'm really close with Purdue's AD, Mike Babinski, and I've said that publicly before. We fight like, you know, cats and dogs in competition, but I have a lot of respect for him. So, you know, I don't actively, he wouldn't cheer hard for IU or I wouldn't cheer hard for Purdue. We would never say that publicly, but I don't really look at it like our competition is Purdue. You know, our competition is really what our expectations and our goals are. So I don't really look at them. I respect the heck out of what they've done. I respect Coach Painter. You'll never hear me say a negative thing about them.
Sure.
I met Matt Painter when I worked for Tim Knight. He played for Team Indiana. And he's just as great of a coach as he is, he's an even better person. You know, when they did the moment of silence for Coach Knight this year before the game, the day he passed was incredible. So I've got, you know, they're a big rival, but I've got nothing. You'll never hear me say anything negative about that.
But their success doesn't turn the heat up on you or the program at all?
No, my heat's been turned up. You can't get any higher than it's turned up. So, honestly, you know, I feel like I want all of our programs. Our women's golf team won the Big Ten championship last week, which was phenomenal. Yeah. You didn't get a chance to talk about some of the things that are happening.
I know. Well, you're the one who kept us to a certain amount of time.
I do have people waiting, and I'm sorry. It's my fault. But I want to say this: getting our basketball program to a level where we all want it to, again, including Woody, is to me. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. That to me, that's a mission that I want it to happen. Let's put it like that. It can't get any more higher.
Well, look, we believe you. I mean, I do. I've known you for a long time, and we talk off camera too, and I believe you. And I give you a lot of credit for coming on here and answering some questions that are probably not the easiest to answer, but we appreciate it. We appreciate your honesty and your transparency and your willingness to just come on and talk to us. We know you are one of us. You love Indiana as much as any of us, if not more, and you've put your life into that work. So thanks so much. We're rooting like hell for you. True fans or not, we're still behind you. And we look forward to seeing you in Bloomington soon.
Well, I appreciate you guys very much, and thanks for having me on. And I would just say to our fans, just keep fighting, keep doing what you're doing. And, it's going to take all of us to get us where we need to go. And that sounds corny, but I mean it. And my biggest fear is that you don't want to be critical of us. If we're doing something wrong, I don't take it personally. We want the same thing. So we appreciate your support and appreciate what you guys do as well.
That was our guest.
All right. Well, we thought we were going to get 45 minutes. We stretched it out to about an hour.
I tried to let him off the hook, and then you're like, I could see you checking your list, and you're like, I've just got to ask him just one, two, okay, just six more questions.
Yeah, fuck it, man. I mean, how often are we going to get him? So go
yep.
for it.
Yep.
Good. Look, I think he answered some stuff, honestly as he could. I mean, look, he's in a tough position on some of this stuff,
yeah.
But I give him credit for coming on and knowing that we were going to ask him about this stuff and he was going to have to answer it in some way. Look, the Adidas apparel deal is news coming out of this.
Breaking news. You could see the wheels turning. Like, I guess I can go ahead and say this to
or
these
not.
Guys.
Maybe we'll get a text. Maybe we'll get a text that says, hey, can you pull that stuff out? I'm going to go put my phone on airplane mode.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. I think the true fans thing puts him in a really weird position, because if he comes out and says he really didn't like that, he's going against his head coach, and he's trying right now to support his head coach in every possible way that he can.
And I did like his conviction on that point across the board with all his coaches, because we've heard stories of coaches who felt like, whether it be college or professional, didn't have the higher ups or their bosses or the, whoever's got the purse strings or calling the shots, not all the way in. And so I really believe Scott has that conviction deeply, and that is, there is no doubt that he, along with several other people, are working to give Woody everything he needs to be successful. But, the one thing he kept coming back to is like, and I'm sure Woody would say the same thing about what the expectations are. Yes. But, ultimately it's like Scott and whoever else has sort of set the table with, like, this is Indiana University, for Rabbi's analogy. Here's the keys to the Ferrari, drive. And I think, like, I feel like the car just went in the shop called the transfer portal, and it's coming out with new rims and,
a new steering wheel, brakes,
spark plugs, the whole thing's been reworked. But now it's time to put up or shut up as far as wins and losses go.
For sure. And I do think that – I do believe that Scott did not believe the right move was to make a change on Woody at this point. I believe, obviously, he's the one who thought it was the right move to make the move on Archie, because he went in – he talked a lot about looking in the players' faces and getting a feel behind the scenes.
For and Tom Allen?
Tom Allen. And yeah. With Archie, I remember him saying, like, he just saw a hopelessness to mm-hmm. it. And I don't think he felt that with this group. I think, like, he talked about that Nebraska game where we got smoked, and he didn't feel hopelessness in that. And I believe that if he did, then he would have recommended it was time for a change, but he didn't believe it was. And at least on paper, you could argue that with the resources that we have, clearly, and he's not shying away from that, they have gone out and upgraded the talent in a way that I will just say it has never happened in our time being fans of Indiana. We have never seen a one off-season talent upgrade across the board like we've seen on paper. I understand that. It's just on paper, but it starts on paper, and then we got to see how it goes. But we have more talent coming into Bloomington in one off-season than we have had. I mean, you can make the argument probably since that Cheney recruiting class, you know, and that was all a bunch of 17 and 18-year-old kids. That wasn't a bunch of college players, which, by the way, I saw a stat today that said if you look at all the college, all the production of our team on paper from last year, it's like 89 points per game. And if you looked at that same stat last year based on the 2022-23 stats going into 23-24, it was 44 points a game.
Wow.
So now, granted, that's because you're bringing in more freshmen, you know, that don't have experience.
Sure.
But this is a team bringing in college proven power six level talent. It is. And so Scott, I think, has been in some ways vindicated that we'll see what happens on the court. But if it was hopeless, we wouldn't even be able to get this level of talent.
You go back to Trey and Anthony's faux senior night speeches where they clearly had Woody's back. And they were clearly digging their heels in for their coach and the state of the program. And I think clearly Scott's picking up on that, right? Like that's all that
point.
Stuff we can't see and feel and hear. We're not in the locker room. We're not in the program. You think because things are going sideways on the court and everybody's losing their minds in the stands that it must be dysfunctional and everybody's turning on each other behind the scenes. Clearly that wasn't the case.
And Ward, just on that point, it's a great point because they weren't doing that for Archie.
Right.
Like his players were not. I mean, we talked about this. We never talked to a player from Rob Finnessy to yeah. Trace to anybody. We never talked to a player who raved about Archie. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They talked about him with respect. I think they respected him.
Yeah.
But they never raved about him. You never got the sense that he was their guy. That is absolutely not the case with Woody. These guys, many of them do and do it afterwards too, like we've seen with Trace and Jalen.
That's exactly the point of like, oh yeah, even when he's no longer their coach, their boss, and they're still
We got to be open to the idea that we're wrong. Like we see what we see with our eyes. We see what we see with our eyes, and it has not been good enough. And by the way, it hasn't been good enough to what Scott Dolson just laid out as expectations for the program. It hasn't been.
Nope.
But the question he has to grapple with on a yearly basis is, are we better off getting rid of what we have now, or do I see a path to get there? And again, he mentioned the bridge, which to me means this isn't a long-term solution. But the fact that you're right, he saw that in the players' eyes. He heard them stand up for their coach in as public of a way as you can. You've got an NBA player who's starting for his team and Trace Jackson Davis raving about him. And then he goes out and gets this transfer portal hall and Bryson Tucker.
Yeah.
There is something that Woody is doing behind the scenes in addition to the resources, the NIL resources, in addition, because there's lots of schools that have great resources and they're not all ranked number one in the transfer portal recruiting. So there is something that he is doing that these players are buying into. Whether that reaches the level of expectation for Indiana on the court, we will see, but it certainly is not the same as it was at the end of the Archie era.
Well, and you look at Dan Hurley didn't show up at UConn and do it in his first season. I think one of the criticisms of Woody is you know, he's stubborn. He won't change. He is what he is. I think already we're seeing as a program, as a staff, and if you're going to blame Woody for everything, you got to give him credit for everything, is they are doing much better in this portal season, getting a balanced roster of players that at least on paper should really complement each other than they did last year. You know, we'll see. How does that translate on the court? When you have more scoring from the outside, from the backcourt, you know, how does that look different in terms of the way you're playing basketball? I think we all feel it'll be better. It'll look better than it did this last year when the backcourt just could not be relied on for any points. I hope to be wrong in terms of just feeling that hopelessness of this is going the wrong way. Even with Trace and Jaylen, I felt we weren't really as good as we could have been with the talent on this team, even though it was all in the front court. It really didn't feel like we were as good as we should have been when lining up against other teams in the Big Ten with not that much talent anywhere. But damn it, I so want this season to be the Woody vindication tour.
I do. Yes, totally. And the other thing I'll say is what Scott talked about, that we're not into building teams, we're into building programs. And I think everybody was really scared going into the transfer portal that we're just going to build a team here. And look, Umar Ballo and Luke Goody have 1 year left on the, now Luke is a little weird because there could be a medical red shirt that is asked for. It would be a fight, but there's a possibility. But our starting backcourt have 3 years left. You know, now if one of them gets good enough where they can go to the pros, God bless it. It means that they were awesome for Indiana and probably helped us back to a really good season. The way that Jalen Hood-Schifino made his stock better and got us to the NCAA tournament in a decent seed and an NCAA tournament win. But it does seem like, at least for those, the starting backcourt is there for the next several years, to at least two. Like that is with an eye on building a program. And then Woody doing the kind of victory tour on the transfer portal side of things and going to visit those guys, Jalen Harrelson, Trent Sisley, and Braylon Mullins, is again a nod to we don't want to be in a position to get 1 year guys and build a team. We want you guys to be the future. So I think we have to take all the evidence that exists and goes and at least say to ourselves, he's not trying to just be 1 year. They went out and used the resources that they have to get the best team that they could for next year with an eye on several years down the road. And you have to give them credit for that. Now we'll see if they can actually pull it off and execute it on the court. But Bryson Tucker is a freshman.
Yep.
You know, and we'll see what happens. He could be a one and done, but is he going to get enough playing time to prove that he's a one and done? Probably not.
Well, nobody's really expecting Malik necessarily to go pro after this year. If he makes another just huge leap, maybe. But with the athleticism, it's like, oh, no, there's a good chance he's back for another year after that. And look, I just want to go back to, you know, one point in terms of if we're replacing three of our five starters with transfer guys. Well, 1987, we replaced two of the five with junior college guys. Like the idea that you bring in this upgrade of talent, like especially if the pieces fit and they're like just what you need. It's, I mean, we're not living in that crazy of an age. And I know there's more turnover beyond that between the people who left and the people who graduated. But to be able to keep, you know, Mac and Malik, it's like, oh, those are like dudes who can score. And am I right in thinking now all five starters averaged in double digits last year?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's where, you know, 89 points could end up coming from.
Right. Well, and Luke Goody averaged, I don't think he averaged, like 6 points, I think, but played 20 minutes a game. You know, yeah. I mean, it's, and then you got Trey Galloway, who averaged double figures, yeah. You know, coming off the bench.
Totally.
So back to Scott, I appreciate him coming on and talking to us. I appreciated some of the stuff about the football program. It is interesting to hear that, like, you can tell while he would love to do a big infrastructure thing, NIL is most important right now. And yep. You do have to balance that unless you get a big donor who's willing to take on a $20 million, $30 million project. That money, and then you got to ask yourself, well, wait a minute, should we just put this money into NIL?
Yeah.
Would that be better? So that's a tough place to be right now. I think you're right that if you show a winning product on the field in football, you, one, increase your revenue base, of course, merchandise, parking, tickets, concessions, but you also expand your donor base and you create a level of excitement that for the top end donors, which you're only talking about a handful of people, it gets them more excited about supporting a program that is actually making you proud on the field, as opposed to convincing them that no, you're the chicken and you need to come before the egg.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And like, well, I do agree with your point there.
Yeah, it's no longer like if you build it, they will come. The build it is not literal as far as going like the stadium. It is the program itself, the product on the field. And as Rabbi said, if you give a football player $250,000, he'll get changed in the backseat of his car. He doesn't need a nice new locker room. That's just the whirlwind flip that we've lived through these last few years. And give Scott some credit, cut him some slack. To be an AD in this day and age of not
with
only
a SPIA degree.
With
that's not where you were going? That's not where you were going?
Well, it was implied, I think. to have to navigate the NIL, the transfer portal age, and the age of existential crisis for a team with a historically bad football program. It's like he is so aware that if we don't get our shit together on the football side of things, we're going to be kicked to the curb and be left behind from major, major dollar athletics moving forward. And I think he also knows that's how you get the donors who really just love basketball to ultimately cough up what they need to for football. It's because, like, fine, but if you want basketball to survive at the highest level, football has to reach the highest level.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, well, look, I'm sure there's questions that people are out there going, why didn't you ask him that? Why didn't you ask him this? But we got him for an hour. We asked him what we could. I appreciate him coming on, and I hope people enjoyed it. As always, follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics. No E.
No I.
But the sometimes why.
We didn't ask him to do it.
I just put Calbert Chaney in. It's fine. Oh,
that's good. That's a good one. All right. See you next week.
Goodbye.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a scream and shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.